Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
I mean, here's a guy that criticizes everybody, whoever they take. He's got the answers to who you should take and who you shouldn't take. And all of a sudden, he's an expert. He's in our papers 2 days ago telling us who we have to take.
Welcome back to the First Team. I am Joe DeLeon, and joining me today, a very special interview conversation with a man that I call my boss, the current president and executive producer for 10 years at NFL Network, current president of the Believe Network, Eric Weinberger. Eric, today we're talking about something that I, as a draft nerd, and as a lot of the listeners on the show, are excited to hear a little more info on, which is the NFL Combine. We're going to be on location. Ryan and I are going to be there, but you are, not a lot of people know this, have a hand in the original broadcasts that happen for the NFL Combine. I mean, the first obvious question here is what inspired that decision to want to broadcast it? Because if you just look at it in totality, it's not exactly the most interesting event that most people would want to tune into.
Yeah, no, you introduce yourself as a nerd about it. I think if you're a nerd, then there's thousands and thousands of them. It's my favorite event. That followed by the draft were my favorite events to do. We in 2003, when we launched the network, there were for years a few people within the league trying to figure out a way to televise the combine, and it took time. So I remember in 2004, we sent a really small group, like maybe two or three producers, maybe one camera, to Indy just to sort of check it out. And it was really in 2005 when we did it for the first time. It was viewed as pretty intrusive, right? Pretty intrusive to have cameras show a lot of even the behind the scenes of the combine. But we knew that we had a borderline Olympic style event that we knew in that to kick off draft season for real. We knew that we had something really special. What we didn't know is the impact it would have to the cameras would have to raise the attendance of the players going to the combine. So while hundreds went in the beginning, I think we doubled it after a couple years because it was on national TV. And if you weren't there, you didn't get the exposure, especially for some of the mid to bottom kids, really got the exposure that they wouldn't have gotten, you know, during the regular season.
BetOnline remains your top spot for all of your live betting action and contests. NFL, college football, UFC, NHL are all in full swing. BetOnline is your number one source for wagering news, odds, trends, and predictions with both desktop and mobile access at any time. Head to BetOnline today and use promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, for 50% off your first deposit. That is a 50% welcome bonus. Bet online, where the game starts. You're talking about that 2003, that time when you kind of went to go check it out. It is clearly completely changed since then. And you also mentioned how there was this intrusiveness to it. What was that original setting like in 2003 and maybe before you started broadcasting, and even that first year that you covered the event fully? What was that setting like? Because I feel like it had to have been so different from the way that it's put on right now.
Oh yeah, nothing was. First of all, it was in the dome, so it was in the RCA dome, which was pretty awesome. Indy, by the way, is the perfect city for this, and it hasn't moved because Indy's so small, so central. You can stay indoors. The entire city has walkways indoors. So it's very easy to move the players around. It's very easy to get to the interview hotel, to get back to the stadium. So that's what makes one thing easy. The key things that they were just set up anywhere. The 40 was run in the middle of the football field. Weights were done, you know, behind the scenes. We had to really knock down a lot of walls physically to and position the 40 so it looked good on television. It ended up working out, which it usually does when you bring cameras in and you bring directors in. It makes it a better experience in person for the coaches, and then it more importantly, for the bigger audience that's watching on TV, it makes a better experience on TV.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people realize that football guys not as organized as you probably were able to make it, and that's interesting to know.
I mean, it was run by the combine, so the combine was just doing what they could, and the first thing we had to fix for TV was the 40. The 40, we knew that's the marquee event for TV. Right. Whether it makes sense or not for players to run a 40, and that's one thing we learned. We can get to that, what we learned about the old linemen. But that needed to be fixed. That needed to be the centerpiece. That sprint needed to be the centerpiece, and that's taken on a life of its own, obviously.
You mentioned that Indianapolis being the perfect location for this, and there's been this recent aspiration to move it. Do you think that there is value in maybe doing it in another location? It does I've traveled a couple of years for a couple of Super Bowls now, and you can tell which cities are built for an event and which aren't. Do you think that it makes sense to maybe go to some other locations?
I think out of weather convenience, like temperature convenience for the coaches, it could move to a Florida or California. I really think it hasn't moved because there's such a short amount of time that the executives and the coaches need to see all these kids. Indy's so easy. I think Vegas behind the scenes proved that it's really easy and you never have to go outdoors in order to do all these events. Mm. So if there's cities like that, it makes a lot of sense. If everything's too spread out over freeways and you have to get into cars, this event won't work. They'll just run out of time and it'll be much, much more expensive to put on.
So talking a little bit about the drills themselves, I think, as I mentioned at the beginning, if you just kind of explain this to somebody in layman's terms, what these events are, it doesn't sound very interesting. But the thing that, as you first started broadcasting this to the point now, it has turned into a very intriguing event to follow and to be able to understand what these individual drills are. How were you able to, just like from your approach when you were coming into this, what was the goal in making a straight line sprint or a bench press or watching these big offensive linemen shuffle back and forth? How were you able to make that into something that was interesting, that maybe not just the nerds, but the average fan could be like, this is pretty cool to see this behind the scenes aspect of the NFL.
Okay. So truth be told, I was the average fan. Okay. I was the average fan. So I was not a football player. I was able to, when we started the network, put a team together, a group together behind the scenes on camera, that obviously knew their X's and O's, Mike Mayock, Brian Baldinger, all the players, then bring in entertaining hosts, bring in good journalists and reporters. So, but more importantly, my eyes were from the average fan. So I could look at it and say, okay, I understand Bill Belichick knows why to watch a weave, you know, for receivers, or watch the quarterback drop back, but I needed to make it right. Like you said, I need to make all NFL network coverage for a bigger audience. And now you see, I mean, just the Super Bowl alone, right? It's definitely not for just nerds who know a cover two. It's for everybody. Mm. I think the number one thing that I asked, and I still ask with football more than any other sport, is every position is so specialized. So you need to explain to me each position. So like no other sport, right? You don't play offense and defense. I mean, a center in hockey or a guard in basketball knows, and it's only 10 players, right? They know every position pretty much on the floor. But an O-lineman in football doesn't know what a running back has to go through or what a DB needs to go through. So we needed to explain each drill or each sprint or each rep, why it mattered to those positions and what are the coaches really looking for. So that was our first question we asked when we were setting up production. How do we explain it to everybody so they understand what's the worth of this? Like just a guy running a 40. By the way, it took us a few years to realize we needed to time the old lineman basically at the 10 yard, not at the 40. It didn't matter them getting to the 40 because they're never going to run 40 yards. But it was really more how do they get out of their stance, right? And how quickly can they even get to 5 yards? And we started timing in increments as the years went on. And there was a lot of learning with that, right? We took a lot of questions on how to look at that from, like you said, a layman's eye.
Very little.
Does that make sense to you?
It does.
You played college football, so you know automatically what everyone's looking for. But you know, could you notice as you're watching the combine certain changes we made while we were doing that?
Yeah, I mean, I progressively definitely. I mean, first of all, I didn't even like lead in with this, but watching the combine is what really got me into being a host and wanting to cover the NFL draft and doing all the things that I do now. So like it's cool to hear this perspective and to talk about it, but I definitely did notice that progression over time in how the event was slowly changing. And I think the biggest thing that you talked about there is this ability for the various analysts just to sit and explain things. Like I understood it, but to have that just average fan's perspective to understand that they're looking for an explanation and to understand it, I think is what makes it super different. You brought up though, and you were talking about with the 40 yard dash and how that kind of came to be and all that. A little bit of a goofier question, but I don't think a lot of fans understand where those times come from and how accurate they are. There's always going to be an update. Like, where are you and how complicated was it that just that part of timing?
Okay, so that's, those numbers that was, that's probably still the most controversial part of the combine. The official time, and I think it still is, the official time is from the combine. So for years, we had dueling times. There'd be an official timer with literally a stopwatch. And when you watch the combine now, you see every coach is lined up in the bleachers right at that end point. But we also had our clock, our TV clock going. It wasn't until probably about 2012, 2013, where we synced those clocks. It was really challenging. It took us 5 years to probably really gain the trust of everybody to be doing this. I mean, you see players and reporters and desks all over the field at this point.
Yeah.
We started out, it was folks just up around the stadium. The timing of the 40 was the toughest part because we would, especially for the burners, we were usually like, there was like a 10th, 2/10, 3/10 of a second off. So it was, you know, now you're comparing guys to Dion and Chris Johnson, you know, CJ, like who was the fastest, and every, you know, the clocks were sort of differing. So that was a challenge until we were able to bring them together.
You also mentioned how now there's all this extra coverage, there's all this extra exposure that's going on, and that's certainly grown even further. There's now even tons of just separate media days and media availabilities that happen with these players. I think one thing that some normal fans don't really truly understand or realize is that a lot of rumors come out of the combine. A lot of conversations happen at the combine, at dinners, at the bars, afterwards. Just from like your perspective, What is that rumor mill like in person when you're kind of observing those things happen behind closed doors or behind the scenes, especially when you've got guys like Adam Schefter and Ian Rappaport who had worked for you and were some of those guys that covered it?
Yeah, Adam and Ian and Mort Glazer, we weren't worried about, you know, we realized probably 5 years in, 4 years in, whatever, right around then, we sort of realized we created a bit of a monster. So, and we are really proud of the combine coverage. There's just no other way about it. But it started becoming a place where every reporter, now yourself, mm-hmm. Descended on Indy for 5, 6, 7 days. And you'll see it coming this week. There's a lot of bar chatter at Shula's bar, at the JW Marriott bar. There's a lot of barroom chatter that I think it turns into just false narratives. I think it can get into the wrong hands, into the wrong ears. We do realize that as the years went on, it was so busy that, you know, no one was safe from rumors, because you could just be having a conversation. And by the way, you could be sitting next to John Elway running the Broncos and, you know, the GM of the Giants just having a conversation. And right next to you could be a reporter from either a local newspaper or a national news service. And they could think they heard something, or maybe they did hear something and it got out there really quickly. That wasn't the case, you know, in the 90s and in the 2000s before we started doing this. So we try to protect everyone that we can, because it's an important place for football people to do business. It's the only time all 32 organizations are in one place. The Senior Bowl doesn't even have it like this. The Senior Bowl is another pretty amazing event in a small town, but that's more scouting. That doesn't involve, I don't think, really the Super Bowl teams as much. This involves all 32. So all 32 head coaches are usually there. So yeah, we created a monster. You'll see, Joe, how many, you're going to be amazed how many outlets are there at this point.
On a more of a brighter note, one of the things that, like, I always really loved a part of the broadcast is there was this
increasing— I mean, you're going to love seeing it. You're going
to
freak.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited to really – and previously, you couldn't really even, as reporters, from my understanding, I feel like you couldn't even get access to really watching the drills, and it's more of like a recent thing, right? Is that even
– I don't even know. You're going to have to tell me at this point.
Right.
15 was the last combine I was at. You're going to have to tell me what access you have into that. We didn't allow
– fans can get in the stands now.
Fans can get in. That fans can get in. We didn't allow – anyone in. Now,
right.
the funny conversations we would have with the executives who were protecting the integrity of the combine, mm-hmm. the guys on the competition committee, they would say, we're not allowed, we can't have anyone in that doesn't have access. And we would say, but it's on TV. Like, what?
Right.
Every event is on TV. We took heights and measurements off TV. We took certain things that just weren't, it just was sort of boring. I mean, at the end of the day, I remember when we were pitching the combine to put on TV in 03 to start in 04, 05. And I think one of the Maras said, if you want to watch paint dry, be my guest. Like, and if that's really what football fans want, be my guest. And then that, you know, that was all we needed.
Talk about a cold take.
right. I mean, it is hard to imagine. I also think a watershed moment was, I remember Brian Billick when he did start working for the network. Uh-huh. I remember him mentioning going to the combine. I remember one year when he was with the Ravens, he was leaving the combine like 2 days in. And someone asked, like, coach, where you're going? He's like, you guys do such a good job on TV. I don't need to be here. It'll actually be
really
better for me to just watch it on TV so I can see all of it as you cut around the field. I don't think that's the case. I still think every head coach goes for the entire time. But that was, you know, we became like a pool feed for the teams to see this stuff. That's what the network did anyway. The network became a pool feed for press conferences and for everyone to get all their stuff in one place. So that's what the combine is for everybody. And now there's probably three feeds of the combine. I'm sure there's a digital streaming that is different than the linear. Then and there's probably some kind of social feed that goes out as well. And ESPN does it now too.
Yeah. I think that NFL Plus does some sort of an alternate coverage. But from all the years that you were there, you were able to witness a lot of crazy performances, like the one that you brought up, Chris Johnson. Like, is there a performance that was memorable, or just an interaction that maybe wasn't broadcasted on TV that was memorable or crazy that that comes to mind?
We were always really careful with any, I don't want to say severe injuries. We were always really challenged with if someone, I don't remember it often, but I do remember one player. I believe there was a UCLA linebacker years ago that maybe blew his knee out during a drill. And we were very, very careful to not exploit it. Calvin Johnson being there, Johnny Manziel being there, these were all like these were all just phenomenal. Whether they threw or not, whether they ran or not, these were all just like, you know, phenomenal moments. I mean, Johnny Manziel's year, just he didn't even have to throw a football. He got drafted late. Like, it was, those were the biggest viewing years for draft season that we had ever had. And I think it's still on record as the biggest. But those bigger players, you know, when the better quarterbacks threw, that made for better TV. That made for better viewership. That's what we always hope for. You know, we also, probably around 12 or 13, we had always been asking, I think Combine in the beginning when we started was Saturday morning until maybe Wednesday morning. We shifted that. I think now it's Friday to Monday. Not only
Thursday to Sunday is, I think, what it is.
And Thursday is probably kickers. Sorry, no offense, Joe, but like probably get a few things out of the way. Uh-huh. And then what we did was we wanted to move. They want all the events done, I believe, at like 4 Eastern, okay? Because they need to get on to the interviews and all the one-on-one meetings in the evening. Right. And they only get the athletes in there for like 2 days, maybe even a day and a half. We always wanted to move the marquee events, the 40s for the DBs, for the running backs, for the wide receivers, the throwing drills for the quarterbacks. We always wanted to move them into primetime. So we wanted it. It all started at 8 in the morning. We wanted everything moved back. If we could have it our way, we'd have everything end at 11 o'clock at night on the field. So it was live in primetime. I don't know where they got it to, but those were always big shifts that we went through. And those were always big discussions that we had with the competition committee and the combine, because there's only so much they can do in the day and a half, 36 hours, 40 hours that they have with these with the players.
There's been a lot of former NFL players who were current at the time, future stars, like Taylor Lewan's one that comes to mind, that were a part of the broadcast teams. Where did that decision-making come into play on, we want to get these guys involved, or, you know, like, is that like the agents trying to push them? Was that the, you know, forward thinking by the network?
No, that was me. We talked about sort of how does the average fan break this stuff down. I wanted to get, a big breakthrough was getting the players on the field. So Marshall Faulk, when the running backs were working out and running, Willie McGinnis, when the linebackers were going, so on. And you know what I mean? Sean O'Hara for the O-linemen, Dion and Rod Woodson for the safeties and DBs. That was another really important step. It took years to get them on the field, but not only did I want that interaction of the young players talking to Hall of Fame players, it was really for Eisen and Mayock to really get the perspective from Marshall Faulk. Why are we watching running backs do this? I think that was a real turning point to getting again that position by position perspective as to what the, you know, Michael Irvin in the wide receiver drills, really, really giving perspective and legitimacy to why these drills were happening.
Last question I got for you, Eric. This is going to be my first NFL combine, first time in Indianapolis. If there is a spot that I need to go to, I've heard St. Elmo's, I've heard some
of the bars. You got to go to St. Elmo's. Yeah, you need to go to St. Elmo's. You need to go to St. Elmo's. You need to have the shrimp cocktail.
Is it going to be hard to get a reservation? Like, I need to be a little prepped here.
Just go get it. Just call right now. Just call.
You think it's that bad? I need to go a week out and get it.
You might as well, right? And yeah, there's plenty of tables that are being booked right now, but definitely book it right now. But yeah, it's a major opportunity for you to see really what goes on to kick off the draft season, right? This is very different than the individual player workouts. This is everyone on the same field, same grass, same building. It's an amazing experience that it's turned into. I mean, it's a full on NFL experience. It's pretty amazing.
Well, I'm very juiced up to be going there and covering the event and getting to check everything out. It's great to get to sit here and talk with you, Eric, about how this thing has grown. Sure. And I hope our listeners enjoyed this conversation. Folks, thank you so much. Make sure you hit that subscribe button wherever you're tuning in, and we're going to be back with more.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.